T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
The final out has been made. Let's talk about what just happened. The good and the bad. It's time for the Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin postgame show, driven by the legendary Great Lakes Dragaway in Union Grove, with the franchise, Tim Allen, on The Fan. If you need doors and windows, go to PellaWI.com.
No franchise tonight. Tim Allen with the night off. Steve Sparky Pfeiffer in here with you as the Brewers lose another one. They lose another one, this time 6-5 in 10 innings. And look, I'll be honest with you. I thought they were going to win this game. I really did. When they came back and tied that game at 5, and had the bases loaded with one out, I fell into it. I was like, all right, we're going to get this game here. All you need is sacrifice fly. You don't need a base hit. Don't need a double. Don't need a long ball. All you need to do is simply put the ball in play, and everything will be fine. No. They weren't able to put the ball in play, and everything wasn't fine. You know what else isn't fine? Corbin Burns. Corbin Burns hasn't been fine now for his last two starts either. And I am simply going to say that is a player that I am watching closely because of the stuff that they want these guys to quit using on the baseballs and so forth. Really wanting to see how his performance is going forward. Adam McKelvey tweeted out a chart of the spin rate and so forth of some of the Brewers pitchers. Corbin Burns was one of them. I'm serious here. I want to see how he goes going forward, because we all said, man, how do you go from being so bad in one year to being so good in the next year to being even better this year? That is what we all said. Like, man, that pitching lab. Woo-wee! They can do some work down there. Can't find anybody that's actually been in the pitching lab to tell you anything about the pitching lab. But it is obviously something where, you know, like Tim Dillard said the other day on the Wendy's Big Show, that, you know, they put the little things that attach it all over your body or whatever else, and they can really sit there and analyze and overanalyze and analyze again with computers and screens and all this other stuff. But the stuff that some of these guys may or may not have been using, it sounds like most of them were using, and now it being pulled away, and now numerous people upset. Oh, I may kill a baseball player without having any of my sticky stuff to put on my hands. I can't grip a baseball like that. What are we going to do? It's going to destroy the game. Okay, well, we'll see. When it destroys the game, then we'll talk about it. When guys start getting hit at a much more higher clip, then we can have that conversation. But right now, some of these guys that spin rates were really through the roof, and now we're coming back down. Let's see. Let's see what the results look like now going forward. Because this is not the Corbin Burns that we saw at the beginning of the year. This is not the Corbin Burns that we saw last season in the shortened season. That is not what we are dealing with currently. So we shall see if we can find the other Corbin Burns and get going back in the other direction. The Brewers were down 1-0, and Luis Urias, who is going to be kind of a part of our conversation tonight, when we get to our topic, was able to come up with a big hit and tie this bad boy.
Game, we saw six errors last night, originally seven, but a scoring decision knocked it to six as Luis Urias turns on one, deep to left, it's gone, and we are tied in the third.
All right, so a big home run there by Luis Urias. And listen, when we start talking about Luis Urias, as much as we talk about Willy Adames, they really need Luis Urias to kind of pan out too. And Willy Adames is already kind of panning out. But Urias is a guy that I mentioned, I think it was earlier today on Sparky's Midday Madness. I think this guy can hit. Now, whether or not, you know, he busts through and has that year, that breakout year, whether that be, you know, next year with the Brewers or the year after with another team or however this plays out, I think at some point he's going to be a pretty decent hitter in Major League Baseball. It's just a matter of whether or not the Brewers have the patience. And it doesn't appear they have that much patience unless injuries happen like Travis Shaw. Now he gets to play a little bit more regularly. Now, a guy that has been struggling, JBJ, right? Jackie Bradley has been struggling and big time. Talked about this on Sparky's Midday Madness today between 2 and 3 as well. About the fact that, listen, if you followed this dude's career in Boston, you knew he was a streaky type guy, right? You knew he could be ice cold, but you also know that he can catch fire for a week or two and really provide you some offense. But it's just never going to be consistent. And he's been far more cold than he's been hot. But in a tie game, he came up with a big hit.
And JBJ with a drive into right center field, and that's to the gap. Brewers will grab the lead. Adames is in. Peeling around third, Urias. He will score a two-run double from Jackie Bradley Jr. to give the Brewers the lead.
Well, JBJ needed that in the worst way. He's been scuffling up there at the plate.
So there you go. So he gets a big two-run RBI double that puts the Brewers up 3-1 at that point. And then you fast forward to a little bit later in the game to the ninth inning. And you're down 5-4, and Willy Adames comes up big after an Omar Narvaez double. He comes through with a huge hit to tie the game.
Opportunity now in the ninth inning. And Adames with a shot down the left field line, a base hit. Narvaez rounding third. He will score. Back-to-back doubles, and we're tied in Colorado.
Yeah, Brewers not messing around, attacking early.
Yeah, not messing around and getting after. Now, again, Tim Allen always talks about this as far as, you know, ambushing a pitcher. And they were kind of getting after Bard in that aspect when he came on to pitch there in the ninth inning for the Colorado Rockies and were able to really get after him, attack him, and tie this game. And as I mentioned, you end up then getting the bases loaded. And the problem there is not that you had the bases loaded. The problem is you had the bases loaded and Jace Peterson and Fisher were coming up. That, to me, and Colton Wong. Peterson loaded the base, I should say. Then it's Colton Wong. And then, of course, Derek Fisher. And again, you know, and Tim has talked about this on the postgame show. But when you've got a Peterson and you've got a Robertson and you've got a Pablo Reyes and a Derek Fisher and all of these type of guys, and you have to play them because that's what you've been given by David Stearns, and if you're Craig Counsell, you don't really have much of a choice. Yeah, that's a little bit different than having a Ricky Weeks or a a Corey Hart or Prince Fielder or a Ryan Braun, and the offense that they had, you know, with those teams puts you in a much better position. So the Brewers come up losers in this one, 6-5. And again, the loss goes to Devin Williams because he got to pitch there in the 10th inning, gives up the hit, and that was the end of that. The win in this one goes to, of all guys, Yelich Chacin, the former Brewer pitcher, gets the win. The Brewers now a fall to 38-32. Good news, though, is the Cubs also lost tonight, so That's a positive. So you didn't lose any ground. The Cubs got beat by the Marlins 10-2. The Braves beat the Cardinals 9-1. So as far as those direct competitors with you in the division, you feel pretty good. Your thoughts on what you saw tonight for the Milwaukee Brewers? And are you starting to get maybe a little bit nervous about this Brewers team and its offense at this point? 414-799-1250. 414-799-1250. Tweet us at 1250 AM, The Fan. And I'm not getting nervous. I'm just not. And I think, you know, if you would have asked me 10 years ago, am I nervous? I would have said, yeah, I'd be in panic mode at this point. Like, what is going on? Like, figure this out. This is the second time now we're in a stretch where, you know, maybe you're having a problem scoring runs. But in this game here, you scored 5 runs. If I would have told you prior to this game, listen here, you're going to get 5 runs and Corbin Burns is on the mound, don't most of you say, yeah, we got this. That's a win. That's a win every day of the week. And that's the frustrating part as a Brewers fan is when you actually do score runs and then you still lose. When your best pitcher is on the mound, you score 5 and it's still not enough to get the win. I mean, when Burns and Woodruff were cooking earlier on in the year, all you need to really do is give them 2 or 3 runs and they'd shut down the opposing team. Not as much anymore. Woodruff gives up a grand slam and a solo shot yesterday. He gave up 5 runs all by himself. And now today, you look at Corbin Burns. And again, he finished, 5 1/3, 8 hits, 4 runs, all earned, couple of walks, 6 strikeouts for Corbin Burns. ERA now 2.62 as it continues to climb here after the last couple of outings against the Rockies and the Pittsburgh Pirates. But this year, in this Brewers team, they just have to figure out how to get out of a funk. I mean, that's just the thing. And I told Leroy Butler before, and it's not coming to fruition because you just went through your 2 best pitchers and you weren't able to stop the bleeding. But more times than not, you know, you avoid these 6- and 7- game losing streaks during the course of a regular season when you've got a couple of stud pitchers in that rotation. The Brewers do in Woodruff and Burns. And neither one able to stop the bleeding for the Brewers as their losing streak continues on now tonight. Tim on the South Side, you're first up here on 1250 AM, The Fan. What's going on, Tim?
What's going on, everybody?
What's going on? What are you doing?
Oh, my goodness. I thank you for taking my call, Spark.
Sure.
Oh, Derek Fisher was worthless in spring training and worthless again. Cascasay, why is he here? You already think alluded to it.
They're just rotating guys through AAA to here. It's just a big carousel of guys that, to be honest with you, at the end of the day, probably aren't, you know, high-end Major League Baseball players, regardless of how many at-bats you give them.
I'm ready to storm Mr. Antanasio's office and or Stern to say, we need bats. Hello, knock, knock, McFly.
I think they know they need bats, though. I don't think that's a secret. I mean, he went out and got Willy Adames. Everybody didn't think that was a bat necessarily, including me. But he's shown that he can flat out hit. And, you know, he was hitting .299 on the road before that deal. It was horrible at Tropicana in Tampa Bay. Since he's got to Milwaukee, which is not Tropicana, he's hit the ball really well. So you got a bat there. You're right. You still need a bat at first. You still need a bat at third. Now it's just a matter of how do you get those bats. And again, with not the best farm system in the whole wide world, being able to trade some of these prospects to get that guy is going to be the tricky part.
Do you think they'll get after Aggie down in Miami? Or do you think Adames should be playing? Why wasn't he leading off when they had Urias leading off?
I don't know. I don't know the reasoning behind why one plays over the other. That is going to be the topic, though, tonight, our lineups. Thanks for the call. That's where we're eventually going to go. JJ tweets at Sparky Radio and at 1250 AM The Fan. Antanasio went on the cheap this year, which is the exact reason this offense is 29th out of 30 in most categories. You have people like Jace Peterson, Derek Fisher, Lopes, I forgot about Tim Lopes, Robertson, getting at bats because Antanasio is cheap. Okay, let's go over a couple of other things since you're bringing up Antanasio and the last caller, Tim, brought up Antanasio. So, I would never call Mark Antanasio cheap. I just, I won't do it. And the reason I won't do it is you have to understand, and Antanasio has said this previously, that payroll for the Milwaukee Brewers, because of their bad TV contracts that they're stuck with and so forth, is really dictated by how many of us go to games. How many of us, you know, are buying food and alcohol and buying shirts and hats and all of that stuff. Fan attendance at American Family Field kind of really helps to dictate what the payroll is going to be year to year. Well, you had a pandemic happen. And because that pandemic happened, you had no fans. Now, he had, you know, some funds and so forth to be able to get through it. And so forth. But then it became, okay, when will we get full stadiums back this year? Because you have to make a budget prior to the year starting, folks. I mean, you can't go into this with no budget and go, ah, hell, just spend like we had 2 million fans last year. Let that be the budget. We'll get 2 million this year. We'll be good enough. Let's go. It's not how it works. Like, you have to project, whether you're Rick Schlesinger or Antanasio or whoever that's trying to project what a fan attendance is going to be, you have to be able to project everything and then go, okay, if this is the number of fans we think we're going to get, if we think we're going to be able to have full stadiums by this date, whenever it may be in the summer, and that's the other thing we don't know. Like, we don't know necessarily, and we should get Rick Schlesinger on again on the When He's a Big Show. But the one thing we don't know is, you know, did they project when they made their budget for this year that they'd be able to get full stadium of people back by the end of June? Like, were they able to foresee that coming when they're going over their budget for this year? Maybe they were, and maybe that's how it plays in here. But he's not cheap. He's given them the opportunities over the course of time to go get guys. He gave them the opportunity to go get Sabathia and pay him. He gave them the opportunity to go get Greinke and essentially rent him for a year and a half to go get that deal done. Every time Melvin, as far as I know for the most part, has wanted somebody, Doug Melvin, he's allowed him to go get it. Hell, Antanasio has went out and got guys that Doug didn't even think were worth what he probably paid for them. Kyle Loesch, do you remember that story? Doug Melvin on the Fan, time after time, not going after Kyle Loesch. He's older. He's probably going to be too expensive. No, not doing it. And all of a sudden, what happens? Antanasio runs into, who was it, Boris or Kyle Loesch, one of them, at a wedding or a Braun's wedding or something. And they get to talking and so forth. And the next thing you know, the Brewers have Kyle Loesch as a free agent. And everybody on this radio station is laughing, going, oh my God, he just went out and got somebody, regardless of what Doug had to say. That's Mark Antanasio. Dude's not afraid to spend money. He's just not. Now, is he going to go into his own payroll, into his own banking account to go get cash? No. Do you think any other owner does that? It doesn't happen. It's just not a thing. Right? Lazary, Mark Lazary, Wesley Edens for the Bucks. They're not doing that. They're not going on their own personal finances in order to help pay for Giannis. Oh, Giannis wants Supermax? Sure, no problem. Let me go over here to my account, sell some stock, and I'll divvy it up. Don't worry about it, organization. I got you. That doesn't happen. He's got to work within the frame of the budget, folks. No different than, say, Harris Tour with the Admirals. Again, Mark Murphy to a degree with the Packers. You all work within a budget. So again, to get off on this whole thing calling Antanasio cheap and that's why they don't have hitters, no. I just don't agree. And I'm not against going after Antanasio by any means. But in this situation, talking specifically about that, no, I'm not there. S. Ravenlord, okay, tweets at Sparky Radio and at 1250 AM The Fan. How many more games do the Crew need to lose in extras before they figure out that Hader should pitch in the 10th instead of the 9th? Chacin has been giving up runs left and right, yet they can't even get one off of them. Absolutely unacceptable. I saw numerous people tweeting when Hader pitched the 9th to please bring him back out there for the 10th. numerous Brewers fans. When that inning got done and the Brewers were coming up in the 10th, numerous Brewers fans were tweeting, let him pitch a second inning. Now, having said that, Adam McKelvey, let me bring up that tweet, because he tweeted about that very scenario about Josh Hader. Let's see here. The Brewers have not used him beyond one inning so far the entire season for Hader. So that would have been the first time. Brewers are sticking to their one-inning rule, Josh Hader, McKelvey said, means he'll be available tomorrow. This goes back to something else that Tim Allen always says as well. Do you play for that day or do you play for the next day? Do you play for that day or do you play for the next series? In the game of baseball, what are you playing for? Because there's 162 games, right? So are you playing to win that game or are you playing to save guys for the next day and then try to win that game? But then when you get to that game, then you're trying to save guys for the next game or there's something else coming up so that I got to save them for that day. Do you know when they play to win the game? I mean, try to really play to win the game? September. When you're in a playoff race and you have to win this game in order to stay in contention. In the postseason, that's when all the marbles are in. That's when you're trying to win. Where I disagree with Tim Allen and others is when it's, well, a win in April is just as important as a win in September. Okay. By the literal sense, yes, one win is important as the other. However, these games are not managed the same by the manager. They're not. And this isn't a Craig Council thing. This is a Major League Baseball thing. Your manager, say the Dodgers, whoever, you're not managing the game the same way in June as you are at the end of September fighting for a playoff spot, fighting to win a division, or in game two of a divisional round playoff matchup, or a game five, whatever. It's managed differently. It just is. And it's viewed differently. Now, like the Bucks, well, if the Bucks would have won those two games at the end of the regular season, like against the Rockets and the Bulls or whatever, they would have had home court advantage. And people were bringing that up. Fine. Think about this, Brewers fans. How many times have you brought up a game in April, May, or June, maybe even July, when the Brewers missed the playoffs by a game? Or the Brewers miss home field advantage by a game or two? How many times do you go back to, man, if they would have won that game on April 18th, we would have been in the playoffs? That does not happen. You do not do that. You talk about a game they lost in the last week of the season or in the beginning of September. You're not going all the way back to April, May, or June and picking out one random game. Nobody's going to remember this game tonight going forward. You will when, you know, Tim Allen does his year in review at the end of the year. Yes, then he'll remind you of all of this. But outside of that, you're not going to remember this. This is not going to be brought up in September if they miss the playoffs. There's no chance. All right. So Brewers come up losing to the Colorado Rockies, 6-5. So here's the topic question du jour tonight. Because I saw this on social media when the lineup came up. I had tweeted over the lineup that, hey, this is a much better lineup than what I've seen the last couple of days. And that I'd be hosting the postgame show tonight because Tim was off. And immediately I get the, well, Urias should be hitting higher in the order and get Big Dan out of that two spot. What a waste that is. He has no business being in the two spot. So here you go. Here are your topics. Two of them. Number one, I know you can handle answering two questions, and I'd prefer you call. Social media is fine. I'll read them. But I'd prefer you call. I like talking to other human beings. Number one, as a Brewers fan, how important are lineups to you? Just as a fan. I'm not asking you how important they are to Craig Council. I'm not asking you how important they are to Tim Allen. I'm not asking you how important they are to Christian Yelich or Ryan Braun or anybody else. To you as a fan, how important is the day-to-day lineup for you? Now, if you listen to the Wendy's Big Show or Rami's show, whatever else, or back in the day when the Wendy's Big Show was in the afternoon, you know I get all worked up over lineups from time to time because I do view them as important. But I want to see what other Brewer fans think besides me, because maybe the majority of you think that it doesn't matter, because that's what Council says. It doesn't matter where they bat. Now, if you're like me and you think it's very important and you didn't like the lineup today, then please do tell me what the lineup should look like. Because I liked the lineup. It didn't bother me at all. But if you didn't like the lineup and you want changes and you're a big lineup guy like me, you tell me what the changes should be. So how important lineups are to you? And if they are important, then what should Council put out there for a lineup to get this offense going? 414-799-1250. 414-799-1250. You can also tweet us at 1250 AM The Fan. The Milwaukee Brewers, well, they come up on the losing end. The losing streak continues. They lose 6-5 to the Colorado Rockies in 10 innings.
Let's find out the play of the game. Brought to you by ABC Audio Video. Home entertainment and smart home technology simply done right. Check them out at abcaudiovideo.com. On the Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin postgame show, driven by the legendary Great Lakes Dragway in Union Grove. On The Fan.
All right, Brewers come up on the losing end to the Colorado Rockies as the losing streak extends. I'm getting in a situation here. I mean, you've lost the first two games of the series. Now you have to win tomorrow and Sunday in order to get a split in the series. You lose tomorrow. Now you're talking about salvaging a game on Sunday. My goodness gracious. By the way, I don't know if you heard that first thing that played after I got done talking in the last segment there, but we will be doing a Milwaukee basketball postgame show coming up tomorrow night. After the Bucks game, Tim Allen, the franchise, will be in here hosting. Sam Schmitz will be in here producing. So no post-game show after the Brewers, but we will be taking your calls after Game 7 between the Milwaukee Bucks and the Brooklyn Nets. All right, time to get to the play of this game as the Brewers were down 5-4 there in the fifth. Omar Narváez had hit a double, and here comes Willie.
Opportunity now in the ninth inning. And Adames with a shot down the left field line, a base hit. Narváez rounding third. He will score. Back-to-back doubles, and we're tied in Colorado.
Yeah, Brewers not messing around. Attacking early.
Attacking early against Barr there in the ninth inning. Unfortunately, they got the bases loaded with one out and could not get another run in, which is obviously unfortunate. And then they lose in the 10th when they bring in Devin Williams. So that is tough for the Milwaukee Brewers. Got a tweet coming in here. Let's see here from JJ, who responded to my Atanasio comment about how he's not cheap. JJ says, "That's BS, Sparky. Before COVID hit last year, Atanasio said they were going to cut salary. 2019 attendance was top 10 in the league. He blamed it on having to build a new spring training stadium. Why should fans go to games to see half the roster being Triple A?" Listen, I understand. I do. I truly understand. But if you went around Major League Baseball and you said, okay, Mark Atanasio, cheap or not, I'm willing to bet you 99.9% of other owners, other general managers would tell you absolutely not cheap. No chance they view that dude as cheap. Just no chance. And the market he's in, and the money he spends, where you're over $100 million, $120 million, whatever the case may be. Again, go look and tell me where his TV deal is compared to the rest of Major League Baseball. He doesn't have the YES Network in New York. He doesn't have his own TV network, the Marquee Network, down in Chicago like the Cubs just got. He doesn't have any of that. Furthermore, he doesn't have the buildings around the stadium that are his either. Now, part of that, well, most of that isn't his fault because that stadium was built before he got here. That was Bud's fault and Wendy Seelig Preeb's fault and Laurel Preeb and everybody else that was involved in that whole fiasco. It was their fault. They built it in the parking lot of County Stadium. That's where they built it. There was talk of building it downtown. There was talk about building it in the valley by Pottawatomie. There was all this conversation about all these different things. And they ended up going there. Mind you, a damn vote almost didn't pass thanks to one lucky fella in Racine who lost his gig over it. But that's how that whole thing played out. So now he's here. So he doesn't get the benefit of being Mark Murphy, who gets to go knock down houses all over the city of Green Bay, knock down businesses, buy a property everywhere, and then turn it into his own little personal playland. He doesn't get that. He doesn't have that opportunity. He's got a bunch of cement. That's what he's got around him. That's all he's got. I just went down to Wrigley Field a couple weeks back. First time I've been to Wrigley since before they did all this stuff down there, right? And for years, since 2005, since I've been on this station, since we started, I've called that place the neighborhood dump. Because it was. It was dump. Their bathrooms were horrible. The seats were horrible and falling apart. Like, there was nothing good about that stadium. I hated that stadium. And forever and a day, I've said it's the worst stadium I've ever been in as far as a baseball stadium goes. So, okay, so now we go back. Bring the kids with. They've never been to Wrigley or to a Cubs game, whatever. So we go. I was blown away. I was blown away by how impressive they turned that thing around. And Theo Epstein deserves a majority of the credit because he did the exact same thing in Fenway in Boston, where he built like that little baseball village area around and redid everything around Fenway. He came there and did the exact same thing. Like at the one entrance, the Gallagher entrance, is that what it's called? Something like that. The one entrance, they have like turf, like AstroTurf. Now this whole area is fenced in, mind you, right? So you can only get in if you have a game day ticket. So you get in, it's all... There's a chunk of like AstroTurf or whatever. And you have dads and their sons playing catch before the game. There's like, I don't know, 10, 12 of them all lined up, dads and their sons staying side by side playing catch with their kids. And that's a great thing right there. Next to that, you got a 2-story Cubs team store on the outside of the stadium, right? They've got stores inside too, but on the outside of the stadium, right by an entrance, 2 stories. Next to that, it's like a bar, grill, restaurant type deal. Again, 2 levels, huge patios outside overlooking this whole like little plaza area or whatever else. And then you still have restaurants surrounding it. You still have houses like in the neighborhood. You still have the Cubby Bear, you know, bar. That's still there. So some of those iconic things are still there. But they added new things around there to go along with it. So it becomes an experience. So I bring up Green Bay. I bring up the Cubs. Look no further than in your own city where the Brewers are. Look at what Lazary and Edens did for the Bucks. Look right there. Atanasio can't do what the Bucks did. Can't do it. Cannot. The Bucks go downtown, which was a complete ghost town. They get the stadium pass. And I told Peter Fagan this, and I mean it. It was one of the easiest things I've ever seen a professional team do, getting that stadium pass as quickly as they did. So they get the stadium pass. That thing goes up. They talk about, hey, we're going to have this deer district. They build the Mecca Sports Bar and Grill, which is unbelievable. And I'm not saying that because I used to do Packer games there for one whole season, but it is unbelievable. Like, there's nothing around here within hours driving distance that even compares to that place. Then you've got the beer garden outside of that. You got that whole walkway. They overall 3rd Street, you've added new bars and restaurants and everything else. Now, Punch Bowl Social, that was a disaster. Okay? Disaster. That was a disaster, and it was their, and not the Bucks' fault, but the people running its fault. It was the worst customer service I've ever had in my life multiple times. It was complete, it was horrendous. And they like fired and then hired a whole new staff, and it was just as bad. It was horrible. Yes, Mitch.
I remember the one time I went to Punch Bowl Social, they were carting people at every drink, which is like something I've never experienced. I mean, I get it, it's fine, but it's like,
Mitch, you really? Go there before like say a concert, you couldn't even get your drinks within like 45 minutes to an hour. That's not even including food. Like, you want a round of drinks. It took like 40 minutes for them to bring you a drink. It was horrible. So when that came out that they were closing, I was like, oh, no surprise. the concept was gorgeous. I mean, like the bowling and the games, the concept was great. They just had a horrible, they had the wrong choice of people trying to run that thing. And it was a fiasco. Having said that, that whole area down there is awesome. So now you get to the playoffs, and now that whole plaza area is packed with people, right? And then you have the big, gigantic screen. You got Joe Brown, whoever it is, out there on the road game. So even when you have stuff going on, when things aren't going on inside the stadium, like tomorrow, if you don't believe me, go down there tomorrow. Go down there tomorrow. The game tips at 7:30. Go down there by 5 o'clock. And you're going to see it's already filling up. And by the time that thing tips, you aren't going to be able to see the end of the crowd. It's going to be so busy down there. That's amazing. Didn't have that before the Bucks new owners. Didn't have that before the new arena. And that's my point. They own like a majority of those buildings on Old World Third. Like they've went and bought up a majority of those buildings. They own almost all of them. So that's pretty much all theirs. That's all their property. They've got property on the other side of them where the Bradley Center was. They tore that down. That's going to be hotel and whatever else they put there. Then they got property on the other side that they're going to put more stuff on, maybe another hotel or whatever. Guys, they single-handedly helped to redo downtown Milwaukee. They did. You may not like what Mark Lazary does as far as if he gets rid of Budenholzer or Horst or whatever. Fine. You may not like what Mark Murphy does if he trades Aaron Rodgers or whatever. But what they've been able to do around their stadiums, to think about, you can go sledding down a hill while looking at Lambeau Field and then get hot chocolate like inside the hill. I mean, there's an ice skating rink out there. The whole deal, like, it's amazing. Mark Antanasio can't do any of that, folks. He can't do any of it. There's nowhere to do any of it. So that extra income, that extra revenue that they both have, he can't have. So when I tell you he's not cheap, he's not. But he's also working under a different model here. The Packers model, there's no local TV contracts. It's all big-time NFL money. They all get the same checks. So they don't got to worry about that. Bucks, they're screwed. Same TV crappy contract as they do. And part of that reason is because nobody in the market competes for the TV deal. At 12-6, they're not competing for these TV deals. They're not. So you go pretty much only have probably one TV player in play. Maybe 18 and 24 would have competed. But now that's Sinclair. That's what this whole thing is. So now Bally's has it. They're screwed. I mean, I don't even know what else to tell you. Unless they go start their own TV network, which I thought they would do once Lazary and Edens got here. They get together with Antanasio, form their own TV network, Brewers, Bucks, run a bunch of high school and college stuff, create your whole thing, and essentially try to topple Bally Sports Wisconsin, or at that point, Fox Sports Wisconsin. And I think there were conversations, but I think the cost of the whole process and not knowing whether or not you could sell it well enough, I think probably poo-pooed that whole idea. Boy, I sure am glad I talked about nothing that I wanted to talk about so far. Mitch, is this gone how you thought it was going to go? Because it's not gone how I thought it was going to go.
It's getting late at night. I mean,
I'm all over the place. Yeah. But it's all good stuff. Like, I mean, I didn't realize it was going to be Mark Antanasio's cheap post-game show tonight. But if that's where people want to go, we can have that conversation. I'm just trying to lay out the logistics here. Like, I'm not asking you to feel bad for Antanasio. But if you look at it, he's kind of screwed in this situation. He's got nowhere to grow. What's he going to do? How does he add more revenue? Jim in Waukesha, you're next with Steve Sparky Pfeiffer here on the Fan. Brewers lose in 10 innings to the Rockies tonight, 6-5.
Sparky, the Brewers are between a rock and a hard place.
All right.
They have nobody to trade that wouldn't hurt them in another position, and they've got nothing in the minor leagues. Tim Lopes, Daniel Robertson, no. Jake Peterson, Derek Fisher. Mm-mm. They're paying for bad years of drafting and player development.
Yeah, absolutely. That's definitely part of it.
Baseball America has ranked their minor league system the worst in Major League Baseball for the last 2 years.
That's right. See, and that's the thing here, right? So you are paying that for that to a certain degree, and now you've got guys like Bryce Terang, who looks like he's gonna be pretty good. And now I'm seeing, you know, on social media, well, let's trade Bryce Terang and whatever else. You don't have any position players. Like, this is the most reverse thing ever for Brewers fans. You actually have some top-end pitchers. Ethan Small had another great outing tonight down in the minors. So you actually have some top-end young pitchers. You're in a position here where next year or the year after, you're going to have a rotation of Woodruff, Burns, Small, Ashby, and Peralta, all under team control for the foreseeable future, and all young and good, really, really good. So unlike years past where I've got to trade for a pitcher, or I have to overpay for Jeff Suppan because we're the Brewers, I have to go overpay to bring him in to try and get a guy in the rotation, they're not going to have to do that. They're going to have to pay these guys in arbitration eventually when they get to that point, but they're going to be able to spend money on free agency, and that is going to be a big relief because you can always get a Josh Donaldson or somebody like that on a 1 or 2 year deal with a guy that's a little bit older to come in and fill that position for a year or two.
The Brewers can't afford Josh Donaldson. He's not going to come here.
Let's see here. Hold on a second here. Hold on. Let me look up Josh Donaldson contract numbers over his career. I'm using him as a deal. Now, he signed a 4-year deal for $92 million, was it? Let me see. 4 years, yeah. 4 years, $92 million with the Minnesota Twins. So next year, he's at $21 million. 2023, he's at $21 million. And then in 2024, is a club option with an $8 million buyout. So essentially, you could have him for 2 more years. The problem in all of this is he's 35. So it'd be 36 and 37. But when we talk about guys like this, if I don't have to pay any of my starting pitchers big money, that's a huge leg up versus having to pay Hugh Darvish huge money to be your frontline guy. You know what I mean? You don't have Ryan Braun's big contract on the books. You do have Christian Yelich's numbers on the books. Lorenzo Cain is another guy. Thanks for the call, Jim. Lorenzo Cain is another guy, and let's look at his contract situation. Lorenzo Cain was a guy who they gave that deal to. They got that deal done, same day as they got the Christian Yelich deal done. Why did he sign with the Brewers? Well, they gave him a fifth year. Nobody else didn't give him a fifth year. Not because he loved Milwaukee, he wanted to come back to the team that had him in the farm system, but because they gave him a 5-year contract. Obviously, you know, that is a big deal. And you can get that fifth year when you're an older player. So this is year 4 of that deal at his age 36 year. Next year is the last year of his deal at $18 million a year at age 36. Now, this is what I'm going to say to that. If you have a team that's not doing well and is struggling and has a guy left for a couple of years, 2-3 years at a bigger number, and the Brewers have a guy left with 1 year left on that deal, who's still not a bad player, having problems staying healthy, like a Lorenzo Cain. You could move a Lorenzo Cain for a guy that's got a couple more years left. Because a pro or a market like Minnesota, let's say, you know, if you're struggling and you don't have the fans coming, and you're looking at Josh Allen's contract going, I need to get rid of this. Like, I do not want to have to pay this. We don't have the fan support. We're not competing at the high level anymore. We need to go get this deal done. I'd give you another guy that I like, and I know he's a DH, Nelson Cruz. Nelson Cruz. Give him a glove and put him at first base. Tell him to figure it out. Don't care. Again, you don't care about defense. You got Vogelbach at first base. You had Kessinger at first base. So don't come crying to me about, whoa, he's going to suck defensively. Who cares? Who cares? You have Gold Glove at second base. You have Gold Glove at shortstop more than likely, or somewhere close to that with Willie Adames possibly at some point. So let Nelson Cruz go play first and hit 40 or 50 bombs at American Family Field. How many home runs do you think Nelson Cruz would hit in Milwaukee in a given year? 50. That's what I'll say, 50. It'd be unbelievable. I mean, again, that's like a rental type deal just for the rest of the year. Then Toodle see him, bye-bye. So maybe that makes more sense. Not an established position player. That's a great defensive player. But are we in this for bats or are we in this for trying to improve our defense some more? Sometimes you got to sacrifice defense to get the offense. And in this situation, and I'm not going to call it desperate times for the Brewers, but if you're David Stearns and you're trying to win a World Series or whatever, yeah, you got to figure out how to get the bats in here. And maybe that means somebody playing a position that they haven't played in order to get their bat into the lineup. It's not like it would be the first time it happened. Brewers lose tonight to the Rockies 6-5.
What was the deal with the lineup? Why did he make that bullpen move? Why did he pinch hit with that guy? Time to get all of those questions answered and more with Scoop from the Skipper. Brought to you by Scholze Family Beef. Treat your grill to quality pasture-raised beef from their family farm. Just go to ScholzeFamilyBeef.com. This is the Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin postgame show, driven by the legendary Great Lakes Dragway in Union Grove. On the Fan.
All right, Brewers come up on the losing end tonight, 6-5. The franchise, Tim Allen, off. He will be back tomorrow, but not talking Brewers, but talking Bucks. That's right. We will have a special edition of the Milwaukee Basketball postgame show tomorrow. Tim Allen hosting, taking your calls after game 7 between the Bucks and Nets. Tip time for that one tomorrow night is at 7:30. Brewers lose tonight 6-5 in 10 innings. Corbin Burns gets through 5 1/3. Doesn't get a win or a loss in this one. Devin Williams ends up getting the loss in extra innings. Greg Counsell talked after the game, and this is what he had to say.
You know, we couldn't move the line because of it. I thought Jackie's at bat in the ninth when he lines the ball to center. I thought Christian's at bat in the 10th when he lines the ball to center. And Colton kind of squared it up right at second baseman. So, you know, in the end, that we couldn't push that next front crust.
Craig, that's two in a row for Burns that have just haven't looked like so many of his other starts this season. Why do you think he's scuffling?
Yeah, I mean, you know, today I just thought at the start of the game, he just, you know, he didn't have the cutter was just kind of thigh high. You know, and then he started getting it in and getting it down a little bit. His breaking ball got better as the game went on. So, you know, that was it. It's Colorado. It's a tougher place to pitch. You know, I thought he threw the ball pretty well today after the first inning.
Craig, Josh only had 7 pitches in his inning. Do you just want to keep him in that one inning role regardless?
Yeah, at this point, we're looking at Josh one inning and kind of with what he's been doing. He's had a busy workload, so that's what we're looking at Josh with right now. I think it's good just for long term with these guys.
Would that have been the case if you had the lead as well? Would it have been Devin with the lead?
What do you mean?
If you had taken the lead in the top of that inning, would it have? Josh would not have pitched a second inning even if he had the lead.
Josh pitched one inning. Devin was pitching the next inning.
Craig, Devin, when he gets 2 strikes on you, quite often buries you with his changeup, but I'm pretty sure that's a fastball you got beat on, right?
Yes.
You okay with that pitch selection there?
Yeah, he had thrown 3 changeups in a row, so he went with the fastball. Yeah, I'm okay with it.
You mentioned getting balls at people. I think 7 double plays in the first 2 games. I mean, those are just killing you, aren't they? It's hard ball.
Yeah, those, I mean, you know, if anything sticks out in the series, I mean, that's it. I mean, that's just 7 less, you know, hitters that they got to face, you know, a couple double plays, you think, but you know, the fact that we had 7 today, it really bailed out Senzatella, especially with just, you know, he didn't strike anybody out, and then, you know, we got out of some innings with some double plays. So, yeah, I mean, 7 double plays is that's not a great recipe.
Nope, that's not a great recipe. You can get guys on base, you keep hitting in double plays like the Brewers were doing tonight and yesterday, you're not going to score very many runs. You may score a run every time you hit in double play if you had a runner on third, but for the most part, that's going to be a problem. And I'm telling y'all, keep an eye on Corbin Burns now. I'm telling you, this next start, let's see. Let's see what it looks like next start. This team cannot afford to have Corbin Burns go backwards. That is not something they can afford to do. If that happens, their playoff chances may be out the window.
Let's find out what happened in today's game from the guys that played it. Let's head inside the clubhouse presented by Windows Select. Right now, buy one, get one free. Plus, no payments for an entire year. Call them today at 262-703-3500.
All right, so the Brewers come up losers 6-5. 5 1/3 innings pitched, 8 hits, 4 runs, 4 earned, 2 walks, 6 strikeouts for Corbin Burns, 96 pitches thrown. His ERA goes to 2.62 on the year. And again, they lose 6-5. Corbin Burns, he talked after the game as well, and this is what it sounded like.
You know, we were really trying to figure out what was going to work tonight. The first 2 innings, it was kind of throw everything and see what was going to work. And everything we threw just was a little bit different. Didn't really have the cutter tonight. The changeup was horrible. It was basically a slider. So we were basically trying to attack with a curveball and a sinker tonight. So obviously it's not normally high pitch. And so that's something we kind of had to piece together. And I did, had to kind of do a lot of things that I haven't done before in the past. So, credit to Omar for getting us into the sixth there and keeping that thing close.
Corbin, does it give you some renewed respect for the guys that have to pitch here 81 times and just how different it can be?
Yeah, absolutely. If you're timing or mechanically, you're just off a bit, it shows even more drastically, when you throw the ball here. So it's one of those things that, definitely those guys that have played here and gotten used to it and can throw the ball well here is pretty incredible. But, we had some opportunities to make some pitches tonight and just didn't get them where we wanted to.
Corbin, in the last start, you felt like it was, the cutter just elevated a little bit. What was the issue tonight? Was it just general command with it, just not having good feel?
Yeah, same kind of thing. It was just elevated. Threw a lot that just kind of spun. Didn't really have the cutting action to it. It's something I pair with the cutter a lot to lefties. It's a changeup, and so it makes the cutter not quite as effective when you don't have that changeup to go the other direction on the outside of the plate. So. Kind of made it tough to throw it to lefties, and then to righties tonight, it just didn't have the same cutting action glove side. So it's something we kind of had to pair with sinkers going in and some curveballs, and we threw a couple of decent sliders tonight. But just one of those things. It's frustrating, obviously, to have two innings like this in a row, but that's part of the game, and we'll have a good work week this week and get back after it.
Will a major focus, Corbin, be for you getting ahead? At the start of the season, you never fell behind. Tonight you had some kind of, high pitch counts, and a lot of, balls and strikes, deep counts. Will that be in a focus of you? So it also will keep your pitch count down if you do.
Yeah, that's always the focus and the goal is to get ahead early on. Tonight we may be just trying to be a little too perfect early on of trying to make too good of pitches, and just kind of how the game goes sometimes. When you have a super aggressive team like these guys, you tend to be a little bit more on the edges early on, just because they're going to be swinging. If they take some good takes and look at some good pitches, then it is what it is. But it's just kind of how a lineup shapes up, and that's. The last two outings against the last one and then this one against the Rockies, it's been an aggressive lineup. So it's one of those things that just kind of happens, and it could work in your favor, and you throw 20 pitches in 4 innings because they're aggressive swinging early and you're making good pitches, or it could backfire and go the other direction like it did tonight.
I said Corbin Burns, and that was Corbin Burns there. I'm going to give you another guy I'm a little bit worried about here. Christian Yelich. You can add him to this too. You paid that guy a lot of money. Now, had the horrible injury. Now he's battling back spasms or whatever else too. They think they've got that finally worked out. That's something I hear a lot from friends. Dude, you worry about Christian Yelich? He don't look like the same Christian Yelich. You worried about Christian Yelich? Hear it all the time. My answer is, Yeah, might be getting there. Might be getting there, but getting worried. We'll see what he looks like. For me, it's, okay, get through this year, and then next year. If he doesn't put up big numbers next year, and he's, hitting 250, 260, if this is the same conversation we're having next year, then I think red flags should be raised. But I'm willing to give him the rest of the year. Hey, man. Having back spasms or back injury, that's touchy stuff. Because that comes and goes. That doesn't just usually just leave.
Now, they've tried the different exercises and different stretching and all of that other stuff to keep Yelich on the field, which is great. And, you know, that's what you should do. So let him get into a rhythm, let him get into a groove, and see what happens. Hopefully, you know, he looks like that MVP before the end of the year. Maybe he gets on some type of immortal run in the second half like he did a while back, where he's just hitting the cover off the ball and's best player in baseball for the last 2 or 3 months of the year. Maybe you get that. Let's hope you get that. Because that would really solve things too. You know, as much as we talk about first and third base and how you need bats there, you need Christian Yelich to hit the damn baseball. That's really what you need at this point. As much as anything else. If Yelich looks like Yelich MVP, then that you don't have to worry about first base and third base nearly as much. Because when Christian Yelich was right, he could carry any baseball team around the big leagues for a week or two easy when he was on fire and feeling it. Let's see here. Let's look at Christian Yelich's numbers as of late. For Christian Yelich, last 7 days, he is 6 of 19, 3 runs scored, couple of doubles, 7 RBIs, 6 walks, 7 strikeouts. The walks to strikeouts, that is the number I always tend to look at. Because normally, if you're walking a lot, it means you're seeing the ball well, which normally then translates into hitting the baseball well at the same point. So hopefully, you continue to see that going forward, hopefully. Whether or not that happens or not, we'll find out. But maybe that is a good sign going forward. And the other guy, too, that you talk about and look at is Avi Garcia. They have stuck Avi Garcia in that cleanup spot and said, this is where you're staying. Yelich is going to bat 3. Go produce. And he hasn't at points. He has produced at points this year. But again, that's another guy. When you got him, I don't think you saw Avi Garcia right now being a .256 average hitter. Now, you could say, oh, on-base percentage, Sparky. Okay, .413. It's good. Really, really good. Here's the problem. His slugging is .385. Like, with all due respect, that's like a 5'8" second baseman who has no muscles, baby. I mean, that's horrible. For as big of a dude as he is, there is no reason why your slugging percentage would be that low. None. If you go back and look, 2019, he had a .671 slugging with the Brewers. 2018, 147 games played, .598 slugging. Now, that's more along the lines of where you want to see him. And on top of that, oh, that's Christian Yelich, sorry. So that's even worse. I thought I was looking at Avi Garcia. Christian Yelich slugging is .385. That's even worse than Avi Garcia. Well, I don't know what Avi Garcia's slugging is, but that's even worse now that I know it's him. Oh, my God. Here I thought I was looking at Avi Garcia. I'm like, well, that's not good. I bet you his slugging is way higher than Yelich's. That would be my guess. Let's look at Avi Garcia's slugging numbers here. Yeah, Christian Yelich's slugging numbers are horrible. Horrible. Yeah, much better. .444 slugging for Avi Garcia. Now, last year, he was only .326, even worse. So much better from that standpoint. On base percentage, not nearly as good as Yelich's .307. But again, .236. You kind of just have better production. Again, we can talk about training for a first baseman and a third baseman, but your middle-of-the-order guys have got to produce, and they have not been producing. Welcome back. Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin post-game show driven by Great Lakes Dragway in Union Grove. Affordable family fun. My guy Roy Hadding and his crew do a fabulous job down there at Great Lakes Dragway. And it's going to be beautiful tomorrow. I think it's supposed to be mid-70s, high 70s. Much cooler than it was today. Thank God. I don't know about everybody else. You can forget the whole 90, 95 degree thing. Like, not a fan. Give me some air conditioning. And on Sunday, I think we're supposed to have some afternoon thunderstorms on Sunday at some point. So, of course, it's Father's Day, so we'll have thunderstorms. So we'll see how that goes. Mayor Mitch, what did you, because I know your dad lives far away, so I'm sure he's not listening. So what are you doing for your dad for Father's Day? You doing anything?
Nothing really planned. Probably just a phone call.
Happy birthday, or yeah. Happy Father's Day.
Yep.
Right? Yeah. Yep, similar.
Pretty standard.
Pretty standard. Yeah.
I'll see him in a couple weeks.
Yeah, you're gonna go see him. Good.
Yeah, 4th of July. We'll get up. We'll get back up north. That's what I call it now.
Up north.
Yeah. 10 years ago, I would have never said that. But
how far away is he?
About 3 hours.
Yeah, it's not bad.
Middle, you know, north central Wisconsin.
Right. Yeah.
So yeah, that's up north now. 10 years ago, I would have said no. Up north is Minocqua. Or Eagle River.
Don't bring up Minocqua. I still have never been there and still want to always go. And I still have never been.
It's a good time.
I know. My cousins, they got timeshares and the whole deal. My cousins that lived in Madison their whole life go every year and have gone every year since they were kids. They're like right around my age. They're a little bit older than me, but for the most part around my age. My parents never, not once, ever took us. Never. Ever, ever, ever. Then they got older. My cousins. And they would go. And I couldn't go because their timeshares that they have would always be the week of Summerfest. We were always at Summerfest back in the day, so I never could go. Fast forward. Now we're not at Summerfest anymore. But guess what? Now I got kids and travel baseball. So that takes care of that too. Like this year, the week that would have been Summerfest, because it's in September this year with these weekend things in September. I'm not sure if I like that either, by the way. But either way, I'm going to be in Rantoul, Illinois. And then July 4th weekend, we're out here at the Rock in Franklin. The next weekend, we're in Bettendorf, Iowa. So
travel baseball, though, don't take that for granted. I mean, that's... I mean, I look back on those days when I played travel baseball, you know, in middle school, and those were like some of the best days of my life, honestly. I mean, so...
Listen here. I got
one. Might not be for you right now, but...
No. I love watching the kid play. Love it. It's my favorite thing. I'd rather watch him play than watch the Brewers or the Bucks or anything else. But I'm just going to say this to you. You say, don't take it for granted. I was just having this conversation with another parent tonight on his team because he played tonight out at Infinity Fields and they run-ruled a team from Illinois. But anyhow, and him and I were talking. He's like, yeah, man, a couple more years and I'm done. Like... You know, because his kid's a little bit older than Logan or great in front of Logan because of birthdays can still play with us or whatever. So he's like, yeah, like 3 more years or whatever. I'm pretty much done. I said, yeah. He's like, you're lucky though. I said, how's that? Well, you got Jackson. He's just starting. You're just in T-ball now. You got a long ways to go with Jax. And he's so true. Like, I'm literally starting at T-ball and then having to work all the way up and through this whole thing. So if he sticks with it, and I don't know if he'll stick with it or not. I mean, he clearly loves baseball right now, but that always can change. I mean, that's 13 years of travel baseball I have left. It's a long time. It's a long time. But I love it. So you loved it too then, huh? How far did you ever travel back in the day, Mitch?
Not that, just mainly in the state, for sure.
In the area, yeah.
Yeah. I
mean, like Green Bay, stuff like that.
Being from the Wausau area, we'd go to, Green Bay, Madison. I want to say Madison is probably about the furthest
you went. Yeah. But that was cool, right?
Maybe
you get a hotel. You and your teammates are in a hotel, maybe screwing around in the pool or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
That's what it's all about. Those trips, yes, the baseball aspect of it is fun, but those kids really have more fun about going out together and have a team dinner or going and screwing around in the pool. Or the one hotel we were just at, the hotel had a basketball hoop in the back. So all the kids were playing basketball against each other in the back or whatever.
And you kind of have like rivalries that sort of build up and you know what teams are good and what players on those teams that you can rattle and stuff like that. It's
all part of it.
It's amazing.
Yeah, it's all part of it. So now like he is going to have his opportunity to go out for the high school team next spring, right? So he's in 8th grade going into 9th grade. So now he'll have that opportunity to, make a JV2 team or whatever the case may
be
for the high school.
But that's a whole different atmosphere.
Why is that?
Just compared to like travel team where like parents are coaches and it's much more relaxed.
Right.
You know, you start getting to high school, you have, the politics aspect of high school sports. Get involved and
no question.
You might go from having your dad as an assistant coach or a head coach to, your social studies teacher is your JV coach. Yep. And,
it changes.
Things change. It's possibly not as fun, but it could be.
We'll find out. We are going to find out. He's got to make the team first. And I don't know if he'll make the team or not. I guess we'll just have to wait and see how that whole thing goes. So
Thanks so much for listening. It's 6-5. I said earlier on Rami's show, I think the Bucks lose tomorrow. Tim Allen will be here immediately following that game for the Milwaukee basketball postgame show after game 7. Mayor Mitch, your prediction.
Wow. I'm gonna pick the Bucks.
You and I were the postgame show for how many years?
I know. I'm going to have to pick the Bucks because I wouldn't be able to live with myself without it.
Understand. It was tough for me. Nobody else on the station picked the Nets but me. So
it's they have the momentum. Just all you got to do is play decent for 4 quarters, and I think they'll be victorious.
We shall see what happens. Tim Allen immediately following that game tomorrow. Brewers lose 6-5 in extra innings. CBS Sports Radio up next here on 1250 AM. The Fan. Enjoy the rest of your morning, I guess, because we're past midnight. Toodles!
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.